One congressman wants to give agency leaders the authority to discipline federal employees for good cause, bad cause, or no cause at all. The bill comes from Congressman Todd Rokita. He's planned to introduce it for several months now, and it's drawing the ire of federal employee groups and unions. Federal News Radio's Nicole Ogrisco is here to explain why this could be important. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Jared.
And so what exactly would this do for new federal employees, I understand, is the only group that it applies to?
So one provision applies to new employees, anybody hired a year or so after this bill is enacted, if it does get enacted in Congress. And it basically gives agency leaders the authority to remove or suspend an employee without notice, without the right to appeal from their job, as you mentioned in the beginning, for good cause, bad cause, or no cause at all. And that's essentially the exact opposite of how things work currently. So at-will employees could appeal a removal or a suspension or even a demotion to the Merit Systems Protection Board. They're able to do that now, or also to the Office of Special Counsel, but there are some limitations now. So the bill says that the employee could only appeal to one agency. Now you can appeal to MSPB, you can appeal to OSC, you can get the court involved. If you're part of a collective bargaining unit, they can help you out. And each agency would basically have to develop their own standards for how to make this work, make sure that they're not actively discriminating against an employee. And there are some pretty harsh restrictions here also for current federal employees that have to do with how the agency could discipline or even fire them for poor performance or misconduct, too.
So they wouldn't become at will, but they would see some changes. What would those be?
Yeah, so if an agency wanted to suspend a current federal employee, they could do so, but they wouldn't have to give written notice, at least no later than 10 days after the first day of the suspension itself. So you could be asked to, you could be told that you're suspended, and you might not know why, at least until a couple days into your suspension. And then after that suspension happens, you could respond, provide evidence, give a written response to whatever action the agency decided to take. You could also appeal the disciplinary action to MSPB. Usually all of that happens before you actually serve the suspension. There's also some provisions in here about pay raises. So the legislation says that if you don't get a 4 out of 5, at least a 4 out of 5 rating on a performance evaluation, for example, you won't receive an annual pay raise in some situations. At the same time, at least 50% of that agency's employees would have to receive at least a 4 out of 5 for all of them to get a pay raise in the future. So this is pretty different from what federal employees currently have.
Also a weird provision dealing with the SES.
Yeah, so the agency could decide to transfer a senior executive service member to the general schedule. And the bill itself doesn't give a reason for why a department leader might want to actually make that decision. It just says that they could do it. And senior executives who get transferred would also therefore receive the pay associated with that new position on the general schedule. Typically, most SES members receive higher pay in most situations, not all, but most of them do. And so this would be, you know, a pretty big blow to somebody currently serving in the SES and just getting asked to serve on the general schedule.
Right. As we kind of indicated before, pretty safe to assume that these changes in the PAGE Act would not be loved by federal employee unions, but what specifically do they have to say about it?
So their argument is that these provisions go completely against the merit system principles that federal employees have now, mostly under Title V. And, you know, they came out against this bill. Members of the American Federation of Government Employees in January started to tell their members that this bill was coming down the pike. Congressman Todd Rokita actually introduced this last year in the last session of Congress. It didn't go anywhere. But, you know, again, if a member of Congress continues to introduce these bills, sometimes they gain traction and, you know, pick up in this case, it would be the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. So, you know, rightly so, I think the federal unions are not a fan of this proposal. They argue that it would politicize the civil service. It would basically give agency leaders the discretion of firing someone. And they wouldn't necessarily have to give a reason for doing so until, you know, days after they've made the decision.
Got it. Talking to Federal News Radio's Nicole Agresco. And Nicole, you also have a story just up recently about a pretty surgical strike on a particular group of federal employees under the Holman Rule, which we've talked about, which came back into effect earlier this year. Remind folks what the Holman Rule is.
The Holman Rule is something that actually dates back to the 1870s. Congress last used it in 1983, I believe, but it lets a member of Congress target a specific federal employee's salary or the number of employees that an agency has, and they can do that by proposing an amendment in the appropriations process. So it's a pretty specific circumstance where members can introduce something like this and use the Holman Rule. But we're seeing here that three members of Congress have done that, and they attached an amendment to what they're calling the minibus of appropriations bills. Mm-hmm. So that's right now defense, legislative, military construction, and veterans affairs, and then also energy and water appropriations acts for 2018. And what that amendment says is that they want to abolish the 89 employees that are in the budget analysis division of the Congressional Budget Office.
Very specific.
Right, yeah. And right, a specific number and a specific salary total, about $15 million. And they say it's abolished and that the functions of that office would just coincide within the office of the director of CBO. So pretty specific amendment there.
And the natural assumption to make would be that this is at least related to the objections Republican members of Congress have voiced about the scores that CBO has given various iterations of the Obamacare repeal and replace bills. But is anyone saying that openly?
So none of the members that have introduced this amendment, and we should say one of them is Mark Meadows, who serves on the Government Operations Subcommittee on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. So, you know, someone who has a pretty prominent position on the House, he didn't directly say that that is why he's introduced this amendment. But, I mean, if you look at what the Budget Analysis Division does, you know, on their website, it says that they project federal spending baselines and they also predict cost estimates for any bill that Congress might, you know, introduce. And so it does seem to match up. And lawmakers in the National Capital Region have basically said as much. They say that, you know, they believe at least that this is exactly what you just mentioned, that they're, you know, not a fan of what CBO has put out related to healthcare in recent weeks.
All right. Federal News Radio's Nicole Agresco. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Jared.
And check out both the stories we've been talking about at federalnewsradio.com.